partnership, I'd understand that you want to wait until your colleague arrives.
Yes.
That's fine. Okay, Grant McGregor, is Grant McGregor here? Southland River Liaison Committees? Selby Farm Partnership?
Yep,
good, come on up. Good morning and welcome.
Morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for putting in your submission. We have some material that you've pre-circulated, some notes, some photos, and a physiographic map. So you're very welcome to speak to that material and lead us through it and make sure we understand your key concerns.
I have a cartoon for you too, but I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, yep, see that.
One of Garrett's drawings. Excellent, that's the word.
Right, over to you, thank you.
Have you got the photographs?
Yeah, we do, yep.
Well, my main part of my submission really is, I dare say you've read all what I've sent in.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll just run quickly over. It's to do with the fencing up of waterways on the hill. Obviously, you can see from that, from the map, we're sort of slap bang in the middle of the catchment between the Reiki and the Tower. And go from light low down on the Reiki riverbed up to 1,000 metres above sea level, which is sort of alpine according to the map as well. We just don't think it's feasible to fence off waterways or exclude cattle from hill country. We're happy that sheep will be able to use the waterways like they always have, but cattle are part of the picture really. They're a big part of the pasture management, because they chew off all the seed heads and stalks and rough material and keep the pasture in quality. So I would suggest it's totally impractical. I mean, if you look at the photographs here, you can see that the type of country we've got to deal with.
Yeah.
Those photos were just taken just the other day, and the waterways are pretty clean. I think we agree that water looks really clean here. This particular photo here has got our stock water intake. It's actually in that photo, so it's well disguised, but that's where we are with that. It's just to do with that it's very prescriptive. We've got less than 16 degrees needs to be cattle excluded from. That's the way I read it. And this is a particular example of what the hill country pasture's like. There's a vehicle crossing there, and that's sort of typical with a bit of native cover. That's what we're aiming to do anyway, is keep native cover on, and that's a good gauge of how hard we're being on those blocks. So it's all about grazing pressure and management, regular checks on the stock that you've got on the blocks, especially in wintertime. We agree with the general thrust of the water plan and also no cultivation above 700 metres. It's definitely agree with that. The sheep cattle ratios are a good way of getting the best result on hill country. So I'll just give an example here. So you get on a 40 hectare block, you would have 170 ewes and 6 cows. This is set stocking with no lambing. So we found that gives us the best result anyway.
Okay.
We're well aware of other contentious issues, but we just wanted to concentrate on one that we knew in our property.
Yep. That's fair enough. Shall we see if we have questions for you now?
Pardon?
Shall we see if we have any questions for you, or is there other points you wanted to make?
Yes, I hate to add. As you can see, I've got another issue I'd like to bring up.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
yep, go ahead.
Will we do that now?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, well, this is basically about farm, you know, a new way of getting farmers adjusted to sustainability. As you probably read, I'll mention how the intensification of farming on lighter and poorer soils has been very great, really. And there's been a bit of a drift away from best practice principles, less rotation, more artificial nitrogen. The other issue is that, well, the key issue really for me is that the science has been sidelined to a certain extent. There's been a much greater, more commercial and investor interests have been involved in farming in recent years, especially in the dairy industry. And we can see it in our area in Northern Southland. I mean, if you went back 30 years, there wasn't a dairy farm anywhere in Northern Southland, but now there's large dairy farms and there's irrigation and all this sort of thing. There's been a downside to that, that's all I'm saying. And we do need to make sure that we get back to science, peer-reviewed science, as the basis of farmers' knowledge and advice. My suggestions for remedies, so I don't think this process is working particularly well. I mean, the process of getting information to farmers and Environment South and acting as the police. We do need to have put farmers in the driver's seat, not being on the defensive. So that firstly, that's putting science ahead of market interest. Two was inform, educate and empower farmers and managers on their properties by sponsoring independent advisors to deliver the science. The third thing is we need to have qualified advisors, independent, and increased trials and more advisor convened and discussion groups and interaction between farmers. It's just got to happen. I just don't see it happening at the moment. Everything's sort of spread out and farmers go to their reps for their fertilizer and they go to the vets for this, but there's no one really coordinating for them. They have to do it. And I'm hearing stories up north and the larger farms are actually hiring people to do this job for them, is to do the IT and give the find out all the information they possibly can to make the right choice. But we need a general way of delivering this to farmers, and farmers' feedback and ideas and the interaction will achieve the best results, I believe. So the main point I'm making here is the way the information is delivered to farmers. That's all I'd like to say, really.
Thanks very much, Dan. See if you have questions, Maurice.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think I should say that recently that I've been on this farm, and Laurie McCullum was there too on a field trip, and we drive up this valley that you see the photos of to the airstrip at the top of the farm. So we know the situation, and just for the record to say that we've just been there recently. I didn't really have too many questions, except perhaps about the stocking rate. The chairman asked the legal counsel for us to consider this. This relates to Rule 70 and the government's proposal to have rules in relation to stock access to water. And in your situation, you have a relatively low stocking rate. And I wonder if we had to make a rule about this, would a stocking rate limit be something that we could use, or would there be something else that we could introduce so that in situations like yours, where you have a relatively low stocking rate, where the stock access to water courses is probably, the effects are probably fairly limited, what sort of rules or conditions should we be thinking about for that?
Well, I think there's always grey areas, but you know, an example of no cultivation above 700 metres, that's a line in the sand.
Right.
You know, we do need some of those type of things, but I think each case by case situation, really. We're a very different country to, say, rolling lower tussock land and that type of thing, but there's large areas of land like our country and, Central Otago and the Tiano area and that type of thing. So I do think it's more about management, really. If you're good at this, if you're a good stock manager, and you keep an eye on what you're grazing. And you keep a certain amount of that native tussock, that's a real good gauge as to how hard you're grazing that country. Then everything will follow suit. We've made mistakes, and even I guess most farmers have been saying, well, you know, but some things haven't worked out that well, but you don't repeat them. So, and the key thing is you want to be there for the long term. So you look after your farm, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, thanks very much.
No questions, thanks.
Yeah, I think just, if I hear you right, you're concerned that a lot of farming has been changing its nature by commercial incentives, and advisors are coming from people who are supporting agriculture by fertiliser a number of ways. And you sort of talk about the need to engage more, because I think that's what you said. So my question is, what's the best way that can be made to happen? That we've had some submitters talk about catchment groups in an area as a unit that might help drive better practice in certain locations. Have you got any comment about how
we... Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, Eric, really. I just think that if we can have a farm advisors convening this and then make the connection between the two-way thing between farmers and scientists about what needs to be done, and then farmers can end up doing a certain amount of their own monitoring. And you know, if you put farmers in the driver's seat, they're going to work it out. They always do. You know, if it's going to be a policing situation, you're forcing, or you're coming onto the property and saying, oh, you know, you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right, like the environment itself. And I don't think it's going to work, really. I think if we have catchment groups are a great idea, because you've got something in common, but different farming types could work together. You know, dairy farmers could work with sheep and beef, because you're in the same area. You know, like Five Rivers is a good area, a good example of that. There's quite a diverse type of farming in our area. And, you know, the Arete is probably one of the rivers that's been affected a bit.
Okay, thank you.
Just one comment, really. I'm just looking at this photo here. And I'm just noticing down on that bottom left-hand corner, you've got a very interesting fencing technique. You put the posts along the ground and not standing up. So I presume that, if I'm reading that correctly, that that looks like a pristine waterway, and you say, well, let's fence it or let's do something with it. But that's telling me that there's some quite good floods go down there, and we'd have to be very careful about how we considered any fencing or any controls there, because they'd be taken away.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. Like, this is quite steep country, and yes, when you get a big rain event, like in 87 we had a massive 5 inches in a very short time, and it just blew everything out over the main road, through our cover guards. And it does, when it comes down, but, you know, that's just... It's part of the way things happen, isn't it?
I think my point is that you would actually fence that quite differently if you knew the full extent of the range of flows that went down that stream compared to what it looks like in that photo.
It's not a good example, it's an old fence, but yeah. I mean, if you could get a good situation where the floodgate can move out like that, but yeah.
No, thank you.
There'll be no further questions from me, but thanks very much for coming in this morning.